So good morning, everybody. My name is Martin Suberg. I'm the commissioner of the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection. You've heard Kathy Baskin's voice. Kathy is our assistant commissioner for water resources at the department, who not only works on a host of water issues, but has the technical savvy to arrange these conference calls for us. And I very much appreciate her doing that. A reminder that these calls are recorded. It is our practice at the end of the call to, make it available on our MassDEP website, along with our FAQs and other information that we've developed during the COVID emergency. And our plan would be to put the contents of this discussion today up on the website as well. We're joined always not only by Kathy, but by the Boston leadership of the wastewater program, again, as well as representatives of each of our regional offices. Again, we think it's important for all of us to be hearing the same things and being able to talk together about issues, and if things develop on the call, that we would all be able to have the same knowledge base to be able to work on those issues. We are also fortunate we are joined by EPA, and I believe both Denny Dart and Jeff Kopp are on the call. And if, as always, we'd like to offer them an opportunity to see if there's anything they'd like to update us on from the EPA standpoint. So Denny, if you're able to unmute yourself and provide any updates you like, I know the people on this call would welcome that.
Hi, thank you, Commissioner. This is Denny Dart. There is one resource I can point people to this week, and I sent the website for the notes from this meeting. EPA has developed a website which is called the Water Infrastructure and Resiliency Finance Center, and it has all kinds of tools and resources for wastewater, drinking water, and stormwater utilities. Recently, the EPA's Water Division created a new tool they've added. It's a calculator to track the impact of COVID-19 on a water utility's costs and revenues. Obviously, you are the experts on your utility finances and you don't need a tool like this, but it might be helpful for organizing information, for being uniform with other utilities, and you might use it in seeking budget increases or reimbursements from FEMA. In developing the tool, the Water Division worked with several national water associations to get input. It's a new tool, so if you have any suggestions, or even if you have thoughts on other tools that the EPA could, you know, develop and provide, let us know. You can give comments right on the website, or you can contact me and I'll forward the input. So that's what I have to offer today. Thank you.
Thank you, Denny. Appreciate that. I will also highlight colleague in the drinking water program, also highlighted yesterday on our call, Jane Downing highlighted that EPA has posted some information on what it will be looking at in terms of when it's resuming inspections, the idea of making sure that we are doing inspections safely. And there's a web link that we can make available to folks as well. On that issue, it is something that DEP is thinking about. As you know, in the early parts of the emergency, we were limiting inspections to things that were essential for protecting public health, or meant the difference between a project being able to move forward or not being able to move forward. We are looking to broaden the amount of work we can do on inspections now, but again, we want to make sure that we're doing it safely, and so we're making sure that we're looking at the latest health data, and we've been thinking about our own protocols to make sure that we are keeping the public that we might interact with safe, as well as our own employees safe. So there are protocols in place in terms of making sure that we know if there has been an exposure, you know, we'll be engaging with people to ask if, you know, information on that, making sure that we have the proper personal protective gear, whether it's cloth masks or gloves, making sure that we're clear with, you know, our guidance on social distancing and, you know, thinking ahead about how we could arrange an inspection in a way that would be safe. I think the most immediate thing is, you know, if anybody was confronting a situation like that, there would certainly be a lot of advance notice. In other words, there would be a lot of preparatory work over the phone and over emails and other things to make sure that we are approaching this safely and thoughtfully. I also wanted to note that we have John Murphy, who is our chairman of the Board of Licensure, on the call. And as is our practice, we like to make, you know, provide John with an opportunity to provide any updates that might be useful for the group here. So, John, if you're able to unmute yourself and provide any updates, we certainly welcome that.
Yes, thanks, Commissioner. Just three brief updates. We have a few applications that came in the mail this week, but for the most part, all applications are up to date and have been processed. The exam sites are open and scheduling exams. Just to note that the sites are requiring mass social distancing. So for anyone who may have some operators going to take tests, just have them review the exam site before heading out, just to make sure they're aware of all the potential rules at the site that they're going to. The board is also approving online trainings. So with the, you know, understanding that we have about 18 more months in the renewal cycle, and that most likely majority of trainings we'll see this fall will be of the online variety. So if anyone has any questions on training programs or getting trainings approved or preparing for the exam or certification or anything along those lines, please feel free to reach out to me. It's probably easiest to reach out by cell phone, and I can be reached at 617-352-3375. So if you have any questions or looking for any information on training or getting anyone prepared for an exam, just feel free to reach out. That's the update from the Wastewater Board.
Okay, thanks, John, and thanks for being with us. And you know, in case there are any questions later in the call. We did get one question in advance of this call, and people are interested. It's come up a couple of times. It's sometimes referred to as BioBot. Sometimes it's referred to as wastewater surveillance, because as I understand it, you know, BioBot is one particular entity that does surveillance, but as I also understand it, as I learn more about it, not the only one. But you know, people have been asking, people asked in advance of this call, are there any updates? And I will say that we have been, you know, communicating with our fellow agency, the Department of Public Health, and others on this. And I believe Public Health and the Executive Office of Health and Human Services has been taking a close look at it. First, they've been, I know, engaging with the MWRA. They have an arrangement with BioBot that is ongoing and was recently renewed. And I'm, you know, if somebody from MWRA is on to provide, you know, any updates, we certainly welcome that. But in addition, I know they're thinking about a potential broader efforts statewide, and I know they're thinking about, you know, ways in which to think about designing studies that would involve more communities, and I believe they're about to put out an RFR with systems that can provide those kinds of services. Some of you may know we at DEP have been in contact with some of you, saying that, you know, depending on how quickly DPH moves with an effort like this, some of the systems, you know, particularly in that serve larger urban areas, you know, may be hearing from folks, and we would certainly try to make sure that you know, we'll try to make sure that you're getting you know, contacted in, you know, well in advance, and that, you know, the coordination that would be needed is taking place, you know, in a well-organized way. But that's a long way of saying, I think there's more to come on this over the next few weeks. I think, you know, like I said, as we learn more about if there is a bigger effort across the state, we would certainly let you know about it on this call and through other means. I don't know if there's anything MWRA wants to add to that discussion or whether you think that covers it. But if there's anybody on from the MWRA, we'd welcome that comment right now. Okay, sounds like we may not have anybody on there. So with that, Kathy, I'm in a unique situation. I can't see my computer screen at all. So if there are other questions that come in, I'm gonna need you to read them to us.
No problem there. So far, we don't have any questions from the chat, and I have not seen any come in on my email. I don't know if anybody has any in-person questions.
Yeah, if so, this would be a good time to unmute yourselves, and we'll do our best to answer and have that discussion.
Hi, this is Jason Turgeon from EPA.
I wanted to
ask if I could be put in touch with the folks at DPH about this biobot wastewater epidemiology survey you're doing. We are tracking efforts. We're not making any moves yet, but we're just trying to keep abreast of what's going on, different people doing this work, and hoping that we may be able to offer some kind of help in the future.
Sure, Jason, if you wouldn't mind either in the chat sending your email address, we'll put you in touch with the people that we've been talking to. You know, again, I'm not sure we fully have the latest yet. It's moving quickly, but we will definitely put you in touch with those people.
Sure. Kathy, I'll send you an email.
Now, Mr. Commissioner David Gray, Nantucket.
Good morning.
Good morning. I just a little update on what we're doing with BioBot. BioBot's actually going to get in on one of our select board meetings and help explain how the results are calculated and formulated. That's going to take place within one of the next few weeks to assist our select board and our board of health to better understand the results as they come in. We have also found that normally we do all of our sampling during the week for our normal permitting stuff. And we're doing the BioBot testing on Sundays and Mondays, and it's given us a much better snapshot of what's actually here on the weekends without any internal influences or any flows coming in to dilute the sample. So we're doing okay with it down here. We've made a change, and we're testing on Sundays and Mondays just for BioBot, and it's made some differences. I just wanted to get that out there.
Yeah, thank you for that update. And we'll also pass that along to our colleagues at the Department of Public Health. And that is interesting, you know, as we, you know, hear more about it, you know, the idea of making sure that you are getting the best snapshot as possible. You know, we've been asking, you know, our own questions about, you know, when and how to sample. And it seems like Nantucket, obviously you figured out that, you know, I mean, that's a really interesting, you know, development where, you know, the weekend is, you know, might be a good time to look given the seasonal uses and things. So thank you for sharing that. And we'll make sure that we're passing that all that information on to DPH.
You're welcome. Thank you. Anytime. And we'll keep you updated as we go along.
So we do have several questions in the chat now. And we're looking, let's see, are there any updates on the new NPDES permit renewal process?
A good question. You know, again, I think, I don't know, and I might defer to Kathy or Weldon or Susie if they're on the call. As we have been working on this, we've been trying to you know, make sure to the greatest degree possible, harmonized with EPA's process. But, and so we're not changing the form right now that you would need to fill out. We're just making sure that we get the form and we get it timely and try to schedule our reviews in accordance with it. But it's still early on. I think we've gotten a few applications starting the process, but I haven't heard of any either really big problems or really big successes. But I might ask Kathy if you have anything you'd like to add to that.
Well, we have 4 draft permits from EPA. That we got a couple of weeks ago, and now another 8 that we're aware of, and a few more coming. So we'll definitely, you know, be working out any kinks in the next, you know, through these processes. We have tried hard to streamline it wherever possible. We're using the same application as the commissioner already stated. Our permits will look, we will try to make it clear in our permit that we're you know, adopting a federal permit without repeating everything and having people look for changes. And then if there is anything new, we'll call that out separately. There are a few different time periods for appeals, and some of our regulatory timelines are a little different, and we're assessing that right now and looking at what we might need to shift through regulation in order to better harmonize. But so far, no big bumps. We think it's going to be fine.
Let's see.
We've got... So New Hampshire DES is on the line and sent me a chat message saying that they could give an update or a quick update on the call on monitoring. I think that would be really interesting to hear from New Hampshire. Maybe we could compare notes. So is Tom
sure,
Donovan there?
If Tom wants to unmute himself, that would be great.
Great. Good morning, Commissioner. Thanks, Kathy. Yeah, that question and the discussion on environmental monitoring is an area we've been working in also. A couple things specific for you to know. We are doing statewide testing for COVID-19 RNA for all wastewater plants statewide under a program being done with UNH, University of New Hampshire. And we are in the process right now of visiting each plant and pulling grab samples to look at that to begin to develop a baseline. The second point is we've had a query from our DHHS, Department of Health and Human Services, about could environmental monitoring, testing of wastewater for COVID-19 RNA be used to identify infections in nursing homes specifically? Could you pull a sample at the outlet for the nursing home, the pump house, whatever the location is, and that would tell you what's going on in the nursing home without having to test everyone in the nursing home and use that as a tracking tool? We've done some investigation on that. We do not believe at this time that's a viable approach, and there's a whole bunch of reasons why. But it's an area that's very interesting to think about in terms of what that could do for helping us monitor and anticipate the disease infection. And then finally, I have a quick question for Nantucket. I think it was Nantucket was saying that they're working with BioBot on multi-testing during the week, multi-day testing. Are you paying the $1,200 per sample cost that BioBot has gone to, or is that still part of research and BioBot's covering the cost on that? Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you, Tom, for the question. No, we are in fact paying the full fee, the $1,200 per sample. And one thing about Nantucket, which there's an awful lot of money out here on the island, so to speak, and there's a group that's gotten together now that is applying for a grant. And they're going to fund us to sample every week at both of our facilities up until the end of the year because they want that data. But luckily, we had some leeway on our budget. So we're testing right now every other week at just one facility with that $1,200 fee.
Great. Thank Great. Thank you very much. And Commissioner and Kathy, again, thanks for giving us the opportunity to listen in and to provide a thought or two.
Sure, Tom. And thanks for the update. And one question, how often, you know, first of all, I'm curious, how many facilities are you getting to, if it's statewide? How many, you know, the total number of facilities, and how often will you be going? What's the frequency you're going at right now?
Right, 72 facilities, I think, statewide. Tracy's on and she can check me on that, but 72 facilities we're testing, and it's a one-time test. Go through, pull all the samples, and then UNH will analyze those and then begin to look at correlations and other considerations from that first round.
I see, very helpful, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Tom and Nantucket. We'll definitely be interested in seeing your results.
Good question for Nantucket. Sorry,
yes.
Councilman Bridgeway, question for Nantucket. Have you seen any results yet? Because I've given them a sample and I have yet to get results from it.
Yes, we have every test we've sent in, we have our results for. Out of the 7 samples we've had sent off, we had 2 come back with positive hits. And I can share that information if someone just wants. I'll put my email in the chat. If you guys want to just send me an email, I can forward our results if anyone's interested.
Yeah, I was just curious because I haven't received any results, and I've done my testing back in May.
Oh, wow. No, I know that they were really bad for a little while there. It was taking a long time, but now we're getting back results within 5 days.
Thank you.
And so to clarify, sounds like Bridgewater's been collecting samples. Is that where you're from, Jonas?
Yes, we only did 1 sample. We did the free one to see what the result was going to begin with. And as far as I'm concerned, they haven't lived up to their part of the bargain, but I can't complain too much. It was free.
Yeah, well, when you do get your results, we'd definitely be interested.
Will do.
Okay, let's see. We have more questions coming in. Sharon Lawson has asked, how are other POTWs managing pre-treatment samplings or inspections in the field? So I think she's looking for feedback from the group. I don't know if there's any feedback, if folks have had any difficulty with sampling or inspections. I know at Mass DEP, we have been working on both the drinking water and the wastewater side, looking at expanding our remote inspection capabilities. So that's one thing that we've done a lot more with in the last few months, is getting remote inspection protocols and actually inspections in place. Let's move on then. Let's see. We've got another one for from Mickey Nowak. If wastewater employees are laid off, will Mass DEP require the city or town to submit and have approved by DEP a new staffing plan?
I'm going to ask the folks that work on this more regularly to jump in. And again, I think part of the answer is that, you know, we do want to know about changes in staffing to make sure that, you know, a particular facility is meeting the minimum requirement. So if you are actually encountering a situation where you're losing people, I do think it's important to let the regional offices know, because, you know, as we talked about throughout early in the emergency, recall, we were worried about illness, but, you know, potentially affecting manpower. The systems were looking for flexibility if they split shifts to make sure that they would have people, you know, able to run the systems, which was, you know, a prudent bit of advanced thinking. And in all of those cases, we were saying that it's good for us to know about that and make sure that we're not encountering any issues. And I would think, and again, I might invite Kathy or I don't know if Dave Johnston from Southeast is on the line, but I think it would be prudent to let people know what changes are going on in your system, particularly if it's a case where you either for the, you know, medium or longer term, you know, you're losing manpower.
Well, I see Brian Harrington is on the line. I didn't see Dave, okay. But I wonder if Brian could unmute. I unmuted me, Brian.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, we would typically be looking for an updated staffing plan to come in indicating any changes, particularly if it's your primary or secondary operators that you're required to have that are changing, either by virtue of a layoff of those individuals or a change in role where somebody shifts up into a position or out of a position. So, you know, we would be looking for an updated staffing just to let us know that you're meeting your minimum staffing requirements and who the primary secondary operators are for your system.
Thank you, Brian.
Yep.
Let's see now, we've got, I think we answered this one, but there was a question with regards to the NPDES permit renewal process, where will there be two separate renewal applications to be filled out? And the answer is no. We are relying on the EPA application to also suffice for MassDEP. Let's see, we have a comment here. OSHA has guidance protocol for in-home repair services that can be used as a protocol for an IPP program representative to enter an SIU facility for sampling and inspections. So this goes back to the previous question. And we have the website there. If anybody's on the phone and they need to have any of these websites that we've been posting sent to them, let me know. And thank you, Nantucket, for offering to share, to screen share your latest results. I think that would be interesting if that's okay with the commissioner, the latest results on his COVID testing with BioBot.
Sure.
Okay, let me do that screen share. Let's see. Nantucket, see if you can take the screen. I've allowed share screen. And maybe you want to unmute also, Nantucket.
All right. Yeah, they're up on the screen now. I don't know if everyone can see it.
Yes, we can.
They are fairly complicated to explain. In the last meeting we had with BioBot, our Board of Health Director was on board with us. But this kind of gives you a snapshot of a Sunday, Monday when we did our sampling. I know I can't explain it the right way, so I'm not even going to try, but it just kind of gives you an idea of what we're seeing.
And so as part of the program, they'll get on the phone with you and explain the data?
Yes, they have a Zoom meeting every Friday that anyone can get on about it as well. And we participated again this Friday, and they were very helpful on answering some of our questions. Mm-hmm. The only problem we think we have with some of their numbers is they're using the actual census numbers, and our census is probably 10,000 shy of what they're saying we have. But this is based on a 2 million gallon a day flow. And since June 22nd, we're now up to 29 cases. We've jumped over the last couple of weeks. All of a sudden, we only had 13 cases for the whole March through April, May, June time period. And then from June 22nd to 9, we're already up to 29 cases. So,
do you have a number for BioBot, a phone number?
Yes, I put my email in the chat. If someone wants to just send me an email, I'll send you what I got.
Very good. Thank you.
Yeah, and I'll probably ask you about the Friday meetings, because I did hear about that on another call, and it was going to be canceled because it was the Friday before the 4th, and I never heard back about how to access those. So I think it would be great
I can post do that
online, or at least in this chat.
So those are just what they're saying for numbers. The way the Board of Health calculated it based on our census, if we put the correct census numbers in there, it's a more realistic number of 80 cases potentially. And if we have more positive cases today, because it's still 175 tests waiting for results, we're getting closer to that presumptive number. It's just a tool. We're just using it as a tool. I'll stop sharing, and I don't mean to talk too much, but I tend to. So sorry about that.
Well, we're all learning, so it's great to see your information. Thank you. And I don't see any other questions in the chat. Let's see if there's anything else on email. No. I don't know if other people have any questions.
So let's see if anybody else has anything. Feel free to unmute, and we'll do our best to hear and talk about the question. Okay, not hearing anything. What we'll do is we'll wrap up this call at this time. I think our next one is 2 weeks from now, which it would be is that the 29th, Kathy?
Yes, that's right.
The 29th at the same time. In the meantime, if we get any updates on anything, we will post it on our website. We'll also do the broad distribution emails to make sure that people have the latest information, and we'll use other ways to communicate as well. But again, we'll make sure that we're staying in touch. And thanks to Nantucket and to New Hampshire for sharing the latest, and Bridgewater as well for sharing the latest about their work with BioBot. And like I said, as we learn more about what possible state approaches, we'll make sure that we're filling you in. So once again, thank you everybody for participating on the call, and thank you for all you're doing to keep the systems running, and to make sure that you're protecting the waters of the Commonwealth as you do every day. We very much appreciate it, and we look forward to talking to you again in 2 weeks, if not before.
Thank you.
Thanks.